Encounter at the Mini Stop by Terry Shepard. Read by the author. The guy was in his 50s, about 30 pounds overweight, with an attitude I knew would get me into trouble. 8 in 10 people wore masks now. The percentages swung away from non-compliance as more and more of us knew somebody who had tested positive and died. Angie's mom was one of them. The Gomez family built the Paloma Mini Stop, my preferred locale for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the legal address of my private detective agency. Rosa Gomez and her daughter ran the place after the old man died. Before the plexiglass and the wide availability of masks, somebody breathed on Mom, and she caught corona. The progression was the worst case. She had underlying health issues. They had to hold her funeral via video conference. The backup at the crematorium was so bad that the family still didn't have her ashes. Now, Angie was in charge. The kid I had watched grow up dutifully took over. She knew the drill. She kept my breakfast burritos warm and my Pabst Blue Ribbon cold. And she gave me credit, like her mom did, when the cases didn't keep up with expenses. Being a PI is as unglamorous as Raymond Chandler said it was. With most of the state still locked down tight, nobody was hiring me to follow errant spouses or to keep bad guys at bay when the cops couldn't. That made me grumpy. So when the bloat man started yelling at Angie, I didn't have much patience. "Why are you letting these so-called doctors lead you around like sheep?" he rasped. "Y'all should know that this mask thing is a left-wing conspiracy to take away your constitutional rights." Angie was unfazed. "Sir, the law says you have to wear a mask to enter this business. I didn't make the law, but I follow the law." His voice had the rumble of COPD, probably from the million or so cigarettes the stains on his fingers told me were his addiction. "Then you are one of the little lambs being led to the slaughter by the Clintons and their lefty losers. I, for one, refuse to bend over and take this attack against our fundamental freedoms up the ass. Herd immunity is the answer. The weak will just have to die." A half dozen people were in line. My breakfast burrito was getting cold, and he was hitting Angie where it hurt. I took cuts. It was easy with the 6-foot separation. I'm a big boy and can scare people, but that wasn't the motivation this morning. I don't think the other patrons wanted to be anywhere near the guy. I tapped him on the shoulder. "Look, friend, none of us like this corona thing. Do the boss a favor." I pulled a blue paper mask out of the box Angie kept on the counter for those of us who sometimes forgot our coverage. "Cover your big mouth with this while you're in here. Your bad breath alone is making us sick." The bloat man must have done some proper work at one time. There were still muscles underneath the fat. He turned to meet my challenge and ripped the Chicago Cubs mask off of my face. It was the one a client had made for me when she couldn't pay her bill, perfect for the unique contours of my appearance. "Mind your own goddamn business, loser, or I'll cough up some snot and shove it up your nose." He was probably not COVID positive. Nasty things don't happen to offensive people nearly often enough. But it didn't pay to take chances. I held up the blue paper mask. He had one more shot. "A peace offering," I said. "Put this on, and I won't make you pay to replace mine." I didn't expect it to work, but it would help if the witnesses could say that I tried to be nice. He wasn't interested in being nice. "Walk away, jerk off, or I'll put my fist between your eyes." He turned to Angie. "Rig up my goddamn cigarettes before I pound this Batinsky into your filthy tile floor." He rolled up his sleeves to show that he meant business and turned back toward me to make it stick. What he encountered was the cold steel bore of my Smith & Wesson M&P 2.09mm semi-auto. I pressed the weapon against his forehead and slid my finger over the trigger. "Okay, jerk off. I gave you the chance to be a gentleman. but apparently whoever raised you didn't teach you how to behave in public. His hands were up. He backed toward the door. It's amazing how quickly people reconsider when they ponder the damage a federal hollow point bullet can do to the human brain. I was mad enough to give the patrons a demonstration. There's a sign in the window that says, "Please wear a mask." It's right above, "No shoes, no shirt, no service." I will get Angie to give you a Sharpie marker, and you will write "no shitheads" under all that, and you will take your business elsewhere. Angie doesn't like it when I cuss. I tell her that sometimes profanity is an important linguistic tool. Command language, the cops call it. He found his courage, but his voice shook and cracked as fear gripped him. "I'll have you arrested for attempted murder." "The law I'm breaking is brandishing, dumbass. Remember that when you call 911. I spoke out to Angie without taking my eyes off of him. "Hey, sunshine, grab that Sharpie and bring it to me so Mr. Shithead can add an extra item to the house rules." That was enough. The bloat backed out the door and made a break for it. I let him go. My back was sore, and my breakfast was cold. The inside of the waistband Kydex holster wasn't recommended for ass carry, but it gave my slipped disc some additional support, and I could draw the Smith good when I needed to. I pulled up my fleece and slid the American-made polymer and steel beauty back into its birdhouse. "He's calling the cops," Angie said. "Go before they get here." I leaned against the ATM that always rejected my debit card and bit a chunk of my burrito. "Nah, I'll wait. I still need some coffee." "It's on the house, Ernie. Grab it and get out. I'll tell the police I can't describe you." I looked at the line of stunned patrons, took another bite of my cold burrito, and pointed it at the horde. "I'm sure one of them will. The odds are that Bloat Man has at least one ally in the crowd." There was a siren. Somebody must have been close. "Get the hell out of here, Ernie. You make my customers nervous when you pull your gun." I grabbed an extra large slushy cup and filled it with what passed for black coffee. I picked up the remnants of my Cubs mask off of the floor. I could salvage it. "I'll wait outside, just in case our friend comes back to watch." The next guy in line held up some beef jerky and a credit card. "He's always here, isn't he?" "He's store security," Angie lied. "Harmless and helpful. He's just a little light on brains." The white Chevy Tahoe screamed into the parking lot, lights flashing and siren yelping. A woman was out the door, masked up and gun drawn, almost before the vehicle stopped rolling. She was ready to tell me to do the "face down on the pavement" thing when the flash of recognition came over her. She lowered her gun and shook her head. "Ernie, what have you done now?" Detective Jessica Ramirez always let me sit in the front seat, even when I was under arrest, and I wasn't yet. If I was 20 years younger, I would have considered asking her out. She was my kind of woman, short, strong, good moral fiber, and she didn't take shit from anybody, including me. "You don't have to wear a mask around me, Jess," I said. "I promise, I'm not contagious." Her expressive eyes answered me, something along the line of, "You are probably carrying more disease than a petri dish." She scanned me. Where was the weapon? Cops always wanted to know that. "Still carrying the Smith, Ernie?" I bent forward so she could see it. "Why does a PI need a cannon like that with a 17-shot clip? I'm lazy. I almost never have to reload." "That's crap, Ernie. You always keep it topped off with one in the chamber." She was observant. Another thing that excited me. "You make me hot when you talk like that, Detective." It was time to calm her down so she wouldn't think of a reason to take me in. "So what is an investigator doing running calls like a beat cop? I was in the neighborhood and took it. Something is going on or you wouldn't be in the neighborhood. Spill it." She was about to tell me to mind my own business when I saw him. As I thought, the bloat man was heading back toward the store. A chrome-plated .357 Magnum protruded from his belt. His belly pushed the grip outward, almost to a 45-degree angle. He was so focused on his objective that his situational awareness was non-existent. He didn't see us. "Pull over a sec," I said. "No, Ernie, you will not confront him." She swung the Tahoe into a U-turn so the bad boy would be on her side of the vehicle. "I'll have the conversation. That's an order." Jess was always so damn nice. "Good morning, sir. Are you the individual that reported the incident at the mini stop?" He seemed genuinely surprised to see her. "Incredible! The city responds to citizens threatened with a gun?" "Where are you headed with 357, sir?" "Open carry is legal in this state." "Yes, it is. But I get involved when there is probable cause that the weapon might be used illegally. Are you heading back to the mini stop?" "Yes, and I intend to protect myself to the full extent the law allows if I'm confronted by a lunatic with a gun." Jess pointed to me. "Is this the lunatic you're looking for?" Bloat's nostrils flared. He would need a cigarette soon. "That's him. Is he in your custody?" Jess didn't answer. She didn't like to lie, but a nod is a lie, too. She nodded. "I wasn't in anybody's custody. My door was unlocked. I could be in Bloat's face in a heartbeat." "Good. Throw his loser ass in the slammer. I intend to press charges."
"That's your prerogative, sir," Jess said.
It's true that female cops are much better at de-escalating things. I would have shot him by now. "Is there anything else I can do for you this morning?" Bloat thought about that for a moment. "You can tell the mayor and the governor that I am not wearing a goddamned mask and to stop illegally infringing on my constitutional rights." Jess's voice was serene, but dangerous. "As you must know, sir, masks are the law of the land in this state these days. You'll be hurting your case against the man in my vehicle if I hear you've entered the mini stop without one." Bloat squinted. "Is that a threat?" Jess was still tranquil, but her hand was on the taser, now unbuttoned on her gun belt. I had the Smith unholstered with a clear shot through the open driver's side window. She left it open for me on purpose. I began to think that our 20-year age difference might be workable for a romantic relationship. "No, sir. It's not a threat. I'm certain that you are just getting a little fresh air and will head back home soon." Bloat may have been misguided, but he wasn't stupid. He calculated the odds and decided a retreat was his best chance at living through the day. "I'll be coming down to police headquarters to file my complaint today."
"I will look forward to it," Jess said.
She didn't move. Bloat grunted and turned to put distance between himself, the mini stop, and us. When he rounded the corner about 100 yards south of us, she slid back into the vehicle. "Look, Ernie, I don't have time for this, and you don't need the hassle. Don't put your weapon against people's foreheads unless there's a felony being committed. Ripping someone's mask off and threatening to cough in their face is a felony in my book," I said, sucking down Angie's tepid coffee. A gin martini sounded suitable, and it wasn't even 10 a.m. yet. It was a good thing I didn't drive. Jess shut her eyes. I could see a headache coming on. I figured there was some backstory he didn't share. "Witnesses? 6. Angie knows them all and can get them if you need them." "I don't need them or want them. Let's make sure our friend with the chrome-plated jockstrap doesn't end up in any hospitals for at least a few days. I'd have to invite you to the office and arrange a conversation with the captain. I don't think you'd like that."
"Batavia? Ever since he got demoted from internal affairs, he's been a grumpy bastard. I don't think he likes me."
"Batavia hated me. Always had. I'll tell you how I earned it someday."
"That makes 2 of us, Ernie. Now get out of my vehicle and go find something useful to do."
I hopped out of the Tahoe, offering the remains of my slushy cup to Jess.
"Thirsty? Glad to let you have the rest of this."
Detective Ramirez rolled her eyes and pulled away from the curb, leaving me stranded in the middle of the street.